All right, so everyone can relate to this. It's funny and true. Listen.
I was on an airplane, and there was internet, high-speed internet on the airplane. That's the newest thing that I know exists. And I'm sitting on the plane, and they go, open up your laptop. You can go on the internet. And it's fast, and I'm watching YouTube clips. I'm in an airplane. And then it breaks down, and they apologize. The internet's not working. The guy next to me goes, this is bull. Like, how quickly the world owes him something he knew existed only 10 seconds ago.
Right.
That's comedian, philosopher Louis C.K. there on Conan O'Brien. So the internet vanishes, and even though for nearly all of human history, all of geological time, in fact, there was no internet, no texting, we feel pain as a species when it goes away? According to a British study conducted by a behavior research company called Interspirience, 53% of people feel upset when they are separated from the internet, and 40% feel lonely. Now, we've talked a lot on this show about how technology is actually changing our brains, but internet addiction, is it anything like addiction to chemicals and drugs? We actually asked you for your internet addiction stories at 877-8-MY-TAKE or at thetakeaway.org, and Peg from New York gave us this. Addiction does not require drugs, says Peg. Besides the internet, we're also addicted to oil, gasoline, electricity, borrowing, credit cards, junk food, money, sex, gambling, being better than our neighbors, and being more than we can possibly be. Peg, that's amazing that you have time in the course of a normal day. Joining us now is Gary Small, professor of psychiatry at the UCLA Semmel Institute, author of iBrain, Surviving the Technological Alteration of the Modern Mind. He's also got a forthcoming book called The Alzheimer's Prevention Program. Gary, good morning.
Good morning.
Also with us is Harper's Magazine writer Mackenzie Funk. He wrote a story in 2007 for Harper's called I Was a Chinese Internet Addict, about how internet and video game addiction was actually handled by Chinese authorities. Mackenzie, good morning to you.
Good morning.
Gary, let's begin with you. Is addiction a useful term in describing the pain people feel when they're taken away from their online connection?
I think it is for some people. If you look at what the criteria are for addiction, it fits. People become preoccupied. They develop a tolerance. They have a lack of control. They have a feelings of withdrawal, and they often hide the behavior, and it interferes with their everyday life. But not everybody gets addicted to technology.
How are the people who are addicted different from the rest of us, Mackenzie Funk, based on your experience in China?
Well, if you believe the people I was with in this clinic in Beijing, if you believe they're addicts, then you would be like them. You're staying up for 7 days in a row playing video games. You know, there were people who literally didn't sleep for 7 days.
And did you believe they were addicted? And it, was there a way to sort of unconnect them to video games in China, Mackenzie Funk?
Well, I went in. I pretended to be an addict myself, which, believe me, wasn't that hard. And went in and checked myself into this clinic, and I thought it was a joke. I went in there thinking it was a big joke. And there was something mentally wrong with them, certainly. Whether it was addiction or not, I don't know. But it was easy to disconnect them. They were in a military hospital, and they had no computers that were online.
Well, that's Mackenzie Funk, who wrote a story in 2007 on this subject for Harper's Magazine. Also with us, Gary Small, professor of psychiatry at the UCLA Semmel Institute. You know, but Gary, let me ask you, obviously, we've all heard these headlines about people that have actually died sitting at their computer. There's even cases of child neglect caused by either Facebook or these MMORPG, these online role-playing games. Is that kind of the definition of an addiction when it begins to interfere with normal functioning of daily life?
I think it is, but not everyone will agree. The American Psychiatric Association is debating this, and many feel that this is a form of obsessive-compulsive disorder that's in that category. Regardless of what you call it, there is a subgroup of people where technology clearly interferes with their lives and has a huge impact on the people around them as well as the people themselves.
Of course, technology can encompass quite a lot. I guess I'm just wondering if the internet itself and the online identity of people in you know, the civilized world is moving towards a situation where there's just ubiquity, that being online is no different than having, say, running water or, you know, having paved roads. I mean, we're not addicted to running water. I mean, we certainly notice when the water goes off. But is that where we're headed?
Well, what the internet does is to put into high gear everything that is human. So So if you have a tendency to like to gamble or to like pornography or to like to connect to other people or to like to shop, it's there. It will accelerate that. The computer is always there. So it's a bit like a food addiction. In this day and age, most of us need the internet to work and to play, just like we need food to sustain ourselves.
Gary Small is professor of psychiatry at the UCLA Semmel Institute. Internet addiction stories, that's what we're looking for from you. 877-8-MY-TAKE, or post a comment at thetakeaway.org. Or you can even dispute the premise that internet use can constitute an addiction for some people. Mackenzie Funk, a Harper's Magazine writer, did you change any of your behaviors based on your experience in China, observing people who you came to believe did have a mental problem of some kind?
I came back, I should say I only did 4 days of the 20-day program, and I was there mostly to do the report. The main thing is I came back thinking that it wasn't a complete joke. Whether I changed my own behavior online, not so much. But I did pass the test, the threshold to get into this clinic.
But you said,
answering more or less honestly.
You said a moment ago that you found that it wasn't hard for you to act like an addict. Is that still the case?
Yeah, I have to be online for work. It's very easy to get lost in things. But I think there's an important difference between me and these people at this clinic. These people at the clinic were, by and large, 15-year-old boys, and they were running from something in society. And I think that for me was the key takeaway. It wasn't that the internet was so addicting that they got drawn in, and perfectly normal children were sucked into this world and couldn't get out. It was more that kids who needed to run away from something, pressure in their own lives, tended to run toward the internet because that's what was available to them. And that was specific to China.
That is fascinating. Mackenzie Funk is a writer for Harper's Magazine. He wrote a story in 2007 called I Was a Chinese Internet Addict, about young people addicted to internet and video games and how it was handled in China. Gary Small, what is the most addictive-like thing you've ever done with technology?
Well, I think it's not an addiction for me and for most people.
Yeah, right.
But there is a huge draw to it. And in my life, it's the email that we use to make our lives more efficient, but it's very difficult to let go of it. Our brains crave the newness of information, and there's always a ping or a buzz that draws us in. So there is not an addiction in that I cannot let go of it, but I think for most people, it makes them a little anxious if they can't connect.
Well, I won't email you a thank you email, Gary Small, and run the risk of being an enabler. Gary Small, professor of psychiatry at the UCLA Semmel Institute, author of iBrain, Surviving the Technological Alteration of the Modern Mind, and he's got a forthcoming book called The Alzheimer's Prevention Program. Thanks to you, Gary and Mackenzie.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And we're looking for your stories as well. Give us your internet addiction reactions or stories at thetakeaway.org or at 877-8-MY-TAKE. I'm Celeste Headlee.
And I'm John Hockenberry. Got to do an email now. This is The Takeaway.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing or
politics,
country music,
hockey,
sex. Of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.